Hey, welcome to Crossroads. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Hannah.
And we're here to guide and equip you for the adventurous life that God has for you. Today, we're continuing our dive into the book of Daniel. And my friend Hannah, right here, is going to talk about the key to dealing with bullies.
That's right. I sure am. And listen, maybe bullies make you feel the way that Elmo feels about Rocco.
Yeah,
regardless,
not good.
We're going to get to the bottom of how to deal with bullies and what God wants us to take away from the process starting right now.
Okay, but first, like, why doesn't Elmo like Rocco?
I'll explain that to you later.
I didn't understand.
It's a long story.
Oh, okay.
Story of a faithful man and the unmatched power of God. After being taken captive from their home city, Jerusalem, to an unknown land called Babylon, four very special royal Israelites were chosen to serve the king: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Today, we focus on Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or the three Hebrew boys. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, loved himself so much that he put a huge statue to remind people of his imperial power. And he wanted everyone to worship it whenever they heard the special music. Everyone. But the Hebrew boys, men, boys too, men, they were not about it. Today, we explore their story and what it means for our life.
Don't you hate bullies? I've never met anyone who actually likes them. Well, see, I've found the key to standing up to them. Hey, I'm Hannah Driscoll, and today we're going to talk about bullies. And before you check out, I promise you, you have one. Now, maybe you don't call it a bully because, you know, you're like an adult, but I promise you that you have one. And maybe it's not the kid in the hallway anymore who steals your lunch money, but it could be the person at work who takes credit for your ideas over and over, even after you've talked to them. It's the person who won't listen to your feelings and your side of the story, even after you've asked them to and you told them how it makes you feel. It's Jan from finance who steals your lunch even when you label it over and over. Thanks, Jan. Listen, I can talk about bullies because, well, one, I was a bully, believe it or not. And two, I missed my opportunity to stop one. And finally, I've got about four bullies that I'm dealing with right now as I talk to you. See, about the year 2000, I was a bully. Yep, me. Now, I was only about 4 years old, but I still remember it. I bullied this kid named Imani Newsom. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget her because I used to tease her every single day, maybe about her clothes, about her hair, but mostly about the fact that she was the quietest kid in the class. And I'm ashamed to say it, but I even used to pinch her during nap time as a way to threaten her from snitching on me to our teacher, Ms. Smith. Even though I was a small four-year-old, I was a big bully because I wanted Imani to feel worse than me for being who she was. Then, when I was in high school, I actually missed my shot to stand up to a bully. See, I had given up my bullying days. I had changed my ways. And there was this kid named Jamero. Now, he was a nice guy, but he was pretty eccentric. He walked differently. He talked differently. But most of all, he dressed differently. And he was an oddball for sure. And he was bullied for it, sometimes violently. Now, while I was never an active bully to Jamero, like I said, I gave up my bullying ways. I also never stopped it. And there was this one specific time that I remember God was nudging me clearly to stand up for him and to stop the bullying, and I choked. I simply couldn't do it. Instead of standing up, I actually cracked under the pressure, caring more about what my associates thought of me than being obedient to God. You know, I think standing up to bullies or simply not being a bully might sound easier than it actually is. I think we all would like to be people who stand up to bullies. We all would like to be people who fight injustices. But I think at the same time, in the back of our minds, we fear that if the time came to actually do it, we'd miss our shot. But if you want to be a courageous person, a person of integrity, a person who is obedient to God, even when it's hard, then you're gonna have to stand up to some bullies. And I think today's story will give you and I the key that we need to stand up to our biggest, scariest bullies. So let me set the stage for you. We've been talking about the book of Daniel and looking at his life and exploring what it means for our lives. Now, what's happened to date is that this guy named King Nebuchadnezzar had plundered and conquered the city of Jerusalem. This is also the city where God's chosen people, the Jews, the Israelites, live. And when he conquered it, he took a lot of stuff. Most of it was material, but he also took some people that he considered to be the cream of the crop, the brightest, the smartest, and the most handsome. And he chose them to come and serve him in his palace. Now, these folks' names were Daniel and some of his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known by their Babylonian given names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But if you're like me, you grew up calling him a bad Negro. Same difference. See, they were chosen to serve the king who believed nothing like they believed. And today we're going to learn how they stayed faithful even in the midst of that. So you might imagine King Nebuchadnezzar, this big conqueror, yep, he's a big deal. And you know what? He actually has the proof to back up that he is a big deal. But he wants everyone around him to know it. So he sets up this 90-foot high and this 9-foot wide gold statue to flex his imperial power. Daniel chapter 3 says, King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the advisors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. You see, King Nebuchadnezzar possessed a quality that is a clear indicator that he was a bully. He had insecurity. No, not the show with Issa Rae. Insecurity. See, this scripture is saying that King Nebuchadnezzar was so convinced of his power that not only did he put up this large gold image, but he invited everybody who was worth anything to come and see it. He essentially is hosting the equivalent of the Babylonian Met Gala, the who's who party of the year. And even though it seems like it, he doesn't just put this statue up so people can come party and tell him how great he is, although they do that. He puts up the statue because he is insecure. See, just one chapter before, in Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar had a very scary dream that Daniel helped interpret for him. The gist of the dream is simple. It's that his kingdom was not as powerful as he thought it was, and there was a time stamp on it. In the dream, there was a statue made of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. And when Daniel interpreted the dream, he plainly shared with the king that in the dream, the gold represented himself, King Nebuchadnezzar. But the other materials represented all the other kingdoms that would come after him. Until finally, a kingdom would come that would be so powerful that it would crush all the other materials and thus all the other kingdoms, including him. And so like any big bully, he really can't even fathom this. He can't even think about the thought of losing. And putting up this statue is, by the way, made of all gold, is his way of saying, my reign, my authority, that is never going to end. His statue is deliberately contradicting God's declared plan. He's saying, nah, bruh, no. My kingdom, that's never gonna stop. No kingdoms are coming after me. And in fact, that scary dream, that never happened. So he built a statue for the same reason I bullied Imani Newsom. See, I was the second youngest child of 7 at the time, and I had nobody to boss around, only the opportunity to be bossed. Until I met Imani Newsom and I knew I could boss her. See, I was insecure about being the littlest in my own home. So I chose to make someone else feel small. And I couldn't just be insecure. I had to do something about it. So King Nebuchadnezzar, he does something about it. He declares this deadly decree, and he makes sure that all of Babylon's elite and all the important people are there to see it. See, he actually doesn't care about them just seeing his really beautiful statue. He wants to test their allegiance to him. He wants them, and actually everybody, to worship it when they hear music. In verse 6, it says, whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar was saying, you will appease my insecurities and worship me. And by the way, if you don't, I've got this big, deadly plan to bully you into doing it. He's giving everybody a very clear choice. Bow or die. And here's where our main characters enter the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won't be bullied. And they teach us something about standing up to our own bullies. For the most part, King Nebuchadnezzar is getting exactly what he wants. His insecurities are laid to rest as people all around him are hearing the music. And when they hear it, they literally stop whatever they're doing and bow to worship this gold image. So if you're frying chicken or cutting hair, guess what? The chicken doesn't get finished being fried and your hair is just not getting cut that day because it's time to bow. Now, if you know the story, then you know what's coming. And if you don't know the story, I'm going to tell you. The three Hebrew boys, as some people call Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they simply don't bow. And actually, they don't make a show of it. See, they aren't looking to make some giant statement. They aren't interested in holding a press conference or posting it on TikTok or Instagram. They actually aren't looking to be seen at all. They are simply following the ways of their Jewish culture. I think today when we see people standing up to bullies, standing up for things that they believe are right, they do it with this intention to craft just the right message so it'll piss just the right amount of people off to create just enough outrage that will have people making a big following so that everyone who disagrees with them will feel awful. See, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have a different approach. Their resistance to the bully isn't actually about riling others up and getting as many people as they can to be on their bandwagon and agree with them and make others feel terrible. These three guys are doing it just for themselves, not for the sake of other people and not for the sake of being seen. They're doing it because they know it's right. They're committed to serving the true God and they show it by not bowing. You see, in fact, their acts would have probably went entirely unnoticed if it wasn't for their haters. The Bible tells us that there were certain Chaldeans, which basically just means like a magician or a powerful leader at the time, who maliciously accused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they went and they snitched to the king. They said, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears every kind of music should fall down and worship the golden image. There are certain Jews whom you've appointed, by the way, over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, they pay no attention to you. They don't serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up. Now see, the haters just came out of the woodworks and they didn't just come. They actually had a malicious motive. They were looking for a promotion and some political gain. They're hating on the position of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're looking actually to hopefully get them killed, likely so they can take their position. See, I bet some of us can relate to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in this moment because here we are minding our business, doing our thing, and haters just come trying to mess with things. So after the haters have snitched, this insecure king is furious and he demands to see the three Hebrew boys and he threatens their life. He reminds them that if you don't bow, you will be thrown into an unforgiving flame. He's saying, bow or die. Now, the king in his pride, he asked them, who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? In that moment, they don't shake, they don't buckle, they don't get fearful. They look directly in the bully's eyes, I imagine. And they say to him, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, if King Nebuchadnezzar wasn't mad before this moment, he is livid right now because these guys are literally embarrassing him. They're not just denouncing his power and saying, I don't care what you do, we're not bowing. They're doing it in front of everyone. The whole Met Gala people is right there to watch him denounce the power. And they're saying, what you gonna do about it? He's got something to prove. Now, the three Hebrew boys, their response is so bold. It is. It's bold. But the kicker about that moment is not just the bold response. It's that it wasn't the moment that the Hebrew boys had decided that they would be committed to God and not bow to the king. See, they had to decide that they believed in God's power long before the moment came, or they would have easily bowed in the moment. I want to set this up for you. You've got a scary king right here. I mean, scary. Your boss, in fact, who can chop your head off. And then you've got a fire that you can see and smell, and it's real. See, in our own lives, when we're standing between being committed to God and bowing to whatever is the cultural flavor of the month or whatever is the pressure that we're currently facing, if we've not already decided that we will be a believer of God and his power more than the world's power, we're gonna bow. I know we will probably all like to think, oh my gosh, like, no, absolutely not. That's not going to be me. I would totally stand up for God. I'm all for Jesus. He's like, and I love him. But let me tell you, like I said, when you're standing between that furious king and that very visible blazing furnace, it's real easy to forget that you want to stand up for an invisible God. See, I told you the story about how I had missed my shot to stand up to a bully in high school. Because when I was in the hot seat, the pressure was actually too much to make the decision in that moment. The picture that I'm trying to paint here is that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were not superhumans with super faith. They simply had made their minds up that they were going to serve God no matter what. And they made it up long before they were faced with the fire. Their story teaches us that if we don't prepare ahead of time to stand up to the bully, we will bow.
Hey, quick interruption to tell you, giving is a critical spiritual act. I'm going to tell you exactly why in under 30 seconds. Go. You know, giving is something we do to honor God. It's a discipline that we must work to develop because it's something that exposes our heart to God, tells him kind of where we're at. And if you want to take the step of showing your heart to God and say, yes, I want to give, I want to honor you in that way, God, you can go to crossroads.net/give for more. Now back to the message.
Maybe some of us are being faced with fire right now even. Maybe some of us are in situations that feel like a rock and a hard place or between a furious king and a hot fire. And we're just not sure what to do. I told you myself, I got about 4 bullies that I'm currently dealing with. And my bullies, they don't look like King Nebuchadnezzar. In fact, they don't even talk, but they do look like anxiety around my health. They do look like fear of the health of my young nephew who needs a life-changing surgery. They do look like anger and like pride. And these bullies, all of them, are screaming and they want me to bow. They're all looking for me to bow to them and forget that God was ever faithful. Whatever your bullies are, I want to encourage you, don't bow. And here's what helps us do that. Prepping ahead of time. And we do that by building our faith through God's word and having the courage to believe. The 3 Hebrew boys had courage to believe, not because, like I said, they were some superhuman Christians, not because they had everything together, but simply because they had seen God do things before and they knew he was able. They had probably already lived full lives of faithfulness, but they also came from a long line of people, the Jewish nation, who had watched God do the impossible. I want you to take a second to look back and think back over your own life. Think back and look back and see if you can find the places where God has absolutely shown up and been good. Whether you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, whether you're thinking about this Jesus thing, you don't even know what you believe, this still applies to you. I want you to take a second and think about if any of the good moments in your life you can attribute to God's goodness. And if you can't think about your own life, think about the life of your friends or your neighbors. Where has God been good? I had a mentor once, a good one at that, who told me that sometimes we get spiritual amnesia. And what she was talking about was not real amnesia, but she was saying we can forget the goodness and faithfulness of God. See, when we remember God's faithfulness, it gives us this courage to believe. It builds our faith. So something practical that I do is I just write all the good things that God has done I write them down. I just keep this running list that I start at the beginning of the year so that anytime I'm actually discouraged, anytime I'm down, anytime I'm facing my bully, I look at that list and I remember that God has actually been good. He's actually been faithful. Another thing I do is I read my Bible. And it sounds really simple, but it's actually a book full of the stories of God's faithfulness. And you know what? You can do that right now with our whole church by joining us in the Bible Challenge. You see, when we do these things like hop on the app and do the Bible Challenge or learn about Jesus through scriptures or look at our list of all the ways he's been good, when we do these things, although they seem simple, it builds our faith and it gives us the courage to believe. It reminds us of God's power, and it gives us a chance to stand in the face of the fire and not to bow to the loudest and the angriest and even the scariest of our bullies. And if you're like me, it gives us the courage to stand despite what other people think about you. And it even makes us choose death rather than bowing to something we know is wrong. So let's hurry up and let's get to the good part. So the king gets really mad and he's like going crazy. He's like, oh my gosh, like can't believe that you're not gonna bow. But he's not just mad because they won't bow. He's especially mad because they're choosing to, like I said, defy him in front of all his elite friends. So he gets so mad that he's like, let's turn the heat up. Let's turn the fire 7 times hotter. And this fire is so hot that the people who are guarding the fire, they die. Can you imagine like getting dressed for work that day? Like, ooh, putting on my little guard thing. And I'm about to join the service and I'm going to serve the king. You did not expect to die by the fire that wasn't even meant to kill you. But that's how hot this fire is. Because the king wants to make sure that these disobedient delinquents are killed. But spoiler alert, they don't die. In fact, the Bible is certain to note that they were bound up in ropes in all of their clothing. But when they come out of the fire, not a single thing on them is burned, not even their hair, and they don't smell like smoke. And that seems crazy, but what's even crazier is what happens next, because King Nebuchadnezzar is so pleased, he's so amazed that their God has saved him, that he issues this violent decree that anybody who speaks against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know what? I got news for you. You're going to be ruined. In fact, I'm going to tear you limb to limb, and that's really violent. And after that, he promotes them again, and they become even bigger, more powerful bosses than they already were. God uses this moment to boss up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, what their haters intended to be their downfall was actually their promotion. God uses this moment to shine through the three Hebrew boys, and not just so that their haters could see it, not just so King Nebuchadnezzar could see it, but so that all the powerful people of the land of Babylon get to see it. And they all get to see God's power through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, they chose to stand, settled in their own convictions, believing in the power of God, and the impossible happened for everybody to see. Listen, I don't want to fool you. Sometimes God will allow us to be tested and even tempted with our biggest bullies. But when we are faithful to God in the face of difficulty, our scariest moments, he turns around and he blesses us. The pressures of life are real. And sometimes they put us in these really tight situations, situations that make us want to bow and to give in to whatever our pressing circumstance is in the moment. Situations that make us forget all about the goodness and faithfulness of God. And maybe you're like me and you feel like, man, I've actually already failed because I was given the opportunity to stand up for Jesus and I choked. But I got good news for all of us. This story reminds us that even when we're facing haters and bullies, and even when all the odds are against us and there's pressure on every side, and yes, even when we feel like we've disappointed God, we can take a look back at God's faithfulness and have the courage to stand and believe in his power. And when we do this, God does impossible things. When we respond to the challenge of standing in the face of the impossible circumstances with faith and with courage, God shows up, and then he doesn't just show up. He bosses us up, y'all. He promotes us, takes us to the next level in him, teaches us something new, and he moves on our behalf. And this happens when we have the courage to face our biggest bullies by preparing ahead of time and being sure that we know that we know that we know that God is able. You remember Imani Newsom? You know, She never actually stood up to me, to my face, but even in the face of all of my four-year-old threats, she had the courage to do something else. She told our teacher, believe it or not, and guess what? It made a difference. Now, we never became friends, but she knew something that I didn't. When we have the courage to stand up to our bullies, our lives change for the better. And the best news is, we don't have to do it alone. God is able and He will help us. We just need to remember His faithfulness and have the courage to believe. You know how to do that Bible challenge that I talked about happens right here in this app. Right here, you read and you journal, and it's right at your fingertips. It's all happening and going down in the Crossroads app.
Best part is we get to do that together. So when you do that, you'll see journals from me, from Brian,
from me,
and Hannah,
yeah,
in there. We can read the Bible together. But don't just take what we write as you're like, man, expert input. I mean, hopefully we are like somewhat of an expert on that.
A little bit.
Maybe a little bit. But we've actually made something even better for you. It's the Daniel Guidebook. You can get it for free. It's got context, history, things that you're not going to get just by reading the words alone, or maybe even reading what we write about it. So get this, it's completely free. Go to crossroads.net/Bible Challenge. We will mail one to your house.
That's excellent. We'll see you next week on Crossroads.
There is a way that leads to life. It's not the paved path, well lit, well traveled, known. It's the ancient path, narrow, forgotten, wild. Few are willing to walk it, but those who do find what they've been searching for. Be one of them. Walk the way that leads to life and find faith in a faithless world. Happening now in the Crossroads Anywhere app.